You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wa Jamaah. Alhamdulillah, I'm your host, Dr. Yusuf bin Abdul Qadir Wahid, mean welcome. Alhamdulillah, today with me I have Dr. Junaid Sheikh, a dynamic guest. Inshallah, I'll introduce him just now. But before I go along, we have to read our du'as. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all healthy, wealthy and happy. Inshallah. Back to medical files. And again, I would like to say ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Please keep your questions coming on WhatsApp. Let me start off by giving you the numbers this week. 08478632. Allahumma shfi mardana wa mardal muslimin warham mawtana mawtal mu'minin. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Anni masani duru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Hasbunallahu ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Allahumma rabban nas asif al-bas wa shfi anta shafi. La shifa'a ila shifa'uka shifa'an la yughadiru sakama. As'alullahu al-azim, ya rabbal arshil azim, an yashfiyani wa yashfiyana. Alhamdulillah, I have a very dynamic guest today with me in our humble studios here in Durban. That is Dr. Junaid Sheikh. Dr. Junaid Sheikh, well, you know, his qualifications may take me the whole program, inshallah. He's got an M.Med in science, which is sports medicine, an M.Tech as a chiropractor. He's currently completing a Ph.D. in medicine. His focus is on pediatric TB. And he's completed the coursework for the LLM in medical law. Well, that's where I happened to get hold of him. He'll give you all the good things. I've been a very, very good, well-behaved student, inshallah. The previous positions he held was, he was a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Health Sciences at the Durban University of Technology, part-time lecturer at the Nelson R. Mandela School of Medicine, UK then. Well, it's long, long after my time, because in my time it was called the University of Natal Medical School Black Section. And I emphasize the Black Section. He, let me just give you some highlights of his career. He's been a reviewer for several accredited scientific journals and has successfully supervised more than 30 master's research studies. He was acting head of department at Durban University of Technology. He was a reviewer and chaired review panels for grants for the National Research Foundation. He has published articles in accredited scientific journals. He has attended and presented at several national and international conferences. Successful recipient of several research grants. Well, Dr. Junaid will have to tell me all what all these things stand for. NRF, MRC, UKZN. MRC should be Medical Research Council. UKZN, obviously, it's the University of KwaZulu-Natal. NRF?
National Research Foundation.
National Research Foundation. Member of the Health Faculty Management and Quality Committee at DUT and the University Senate. He has attended and participated in several courses, including Management and Leadership course. He was a departmental head for Skills and Management. Dr. Saab, this is in short just a CV. Malatala, increase the CV. May Allah use you as a sabab for deen, inshallah. May Allah keep you happy, wealthy, at the world beginning, healthy, wealthy and wise, inshallah. Dr. Junaid Sheikh, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our humble studios, inshallah. And you can kick off by telling us what does the chiropractor do, but the floor is yours. Let me put it that way. The stage is yours, or the mic is yours.
Jazakallah, brother Dr. Yusuf Vaid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace and blessings to all the listeners out there. Peace and blessings to my family. I know they are listening.
Wa alaikum salam.
To my colleagues from the medical law department. I am following in the footsteps of my esteemed teacher, Dr. Mfulozi, and my colleague, Dr. Aman. And it's always a pleasure to be in your company, Yusuf. I appreciate it. And I'm truly humbled for the wonderful introduction that you've given me. And I am very pleased to be here tonight. I am just a humble servant. I hope that I am able to share my knowledge, my experience with the listeners. And you asked, you know, may Allah grant whatever I say, you know, to be of benefit to all the listeners out there. When Prophet Musa alayhi salam went in front of Fir'aun, before he went, they made this dua: Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. And with that dua, I'm also commencing today's show. And you asked me about chiropractic. Well, it's...
Mark, if I interject, just for the sake of our listeners, now and then, you know, I'll interject. Sometimes maybe we might use a term that I might not understand. I'm learning all the time and trying to keep it as simple as possible.
Yes.
Look, we also have professors, doctors, lawyers. We have all kinds of people that listen to the program. So inshallah, I'm sure you'll get through it. I am excited because the first time I'm having a chiropractor to talk about chiropractic.
Well, it's my honor and pleasure to do so. I will definitely try and keep the medical term and jargon as simple as possible. So essentially, chiropractic, if you split it up, it simply comes from the Greek word chiro, which means my hand. So it's a profession that's relatively young. It's just over 100 years old. It started in the USA. It works mainly on what we call mechanical or non-specific musculoskeletal conditions, such as back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, and so forth. And it's mainly treated by hand.
Look, now I'm going to interject if you don't.
No problem.
I know,
I know.
No, the thing is, when you talk about backache, I think you'll have a line of patients waiting for you already. I know 100 people will be ready to come and see you tomorrow.
Well, back pain is one of the most common reasons people seek medical care. Whether it's they go to the GP, whether they go to a physiotherapist or a chiropractor or even a biokineticist, people are desperate out there. You know, so they resort to whatever that will help them. And so with respect to chiropractic, it's like I said, it's mainly to treat those kind of conditions. It's to treat non-pathological back pain and neck pain. What I mean by that is pathological will be something that's quite serious, like an infection such as TB or cancer. You know, so that is in the realm of the medical profession, and especially in surgeons, oncologists, and other specialists.
So in other words, you've got to exclude pathology first.
Yes. And the most common causes of non-specific back pain or non-pathological back pain will be overuse, macro trauma, micro trauma, overuse trauma, degenerative conditions. Those are the main ones that result in...
Look, commonly there's a diagnosis called mechanical backache.
Yes.
Does that come to you? Or?
Yes.
Because I used to see that very... I come from an area in Welcome which is totally mining related.
Yes. So it's not a surprising thing. I mean, miners, it's a very arduous profession. I mean, you bend a lot, you are lifting heavy things, you are responsible for pushing things, carrying things. So it results in wear and tear of muscles, ligaments, discs, and eventually it starts to affect the bone itself. So, you know, you start getting degenerative conditions that start to, and most people would hear the doctor say stenosis or sciatica or those kind of,
It's common, common term where they lie to the patient.
Well, you know, usually when back pain, when a patient presents with back pain that goes down the legs or one of the legs, it's called sciatica. But there are so many other conditions that resemble sciatica but are not sciatica related. And it's important for the diagnosis to be as accurate as possible in order to treat the condition. And, you know, like for example, if a patient had to come to a chiropractor or they came to me, the most important thing is the history. So we would ask about several factors about the pain. Where's the location, the character, the radiation, exactly. Aggravating symptoms, relieving symptoms, you know, associated symptoms. Sometimes someone may have back pain and they got pins and needles in their feet. That would be an associated symptom. So we ask everything, previous trauma, sleeping habits, dietary, previous medical history, family history. We ask about, sometimes we may ask, do you have chest pain? Or do you have pain in your tummy? Or do you have pain when you urinate? Because you might have a kidney pathology that can present as mechanical back pain.
Sure.
You know, so
one-sided.
Exactly. You
on
know,
the loin order.
On the loin, it can be colicky in pain in description. So those terms are very important when a doctor asks you to describe the pain. And then after that, we would do a physical examination.
Tell me, are patients generally referred to a chiropractor or they just present, you know, like a guy walking down, especially you get this GP, I call them Tengela Babas. The guy looks at the board, chiropractor, come in for backache and just walks in.
Yes. Well, it's since in South Africa we are primary contact practitioners, so people can walk in or they get referred. I get both types of patients. And today with the advent of technology, with the internet, people are able to know a little bit more. So they often Google.
Where my worry comes in, like say for example, the guy's got serious pathology presenting as backache.
Right.
Now, how would you know that it's pathology that you shouldn't interfere with?
Well, that's a good question.
Like medication, anti-inflammatory or...
That's a very good question you're asking, because like you said, one of the things we learn in medicine and in the healthcare profession is the so-called red flags.
Yeah.
Yes. So we are all very familiar with red flags. For example, if someone presented with back pain and they had fever,
yeah.
So that would be a red flag. If they present with back pain and they're starting to lose weight, or they a pain that is constant at night, preventing them from sleeping, it's not relieved by rest, it's not relieved by medication, those are all red flags.
Pain that gets you off of your sleep.
Exactly. If someone tells me they got back pain and they tell me when they go and pass urine, it's red in color, then we, you know, we in medicine we call it hematuria, blood in the urine. That is a red flag. So those are the things that we look out for in the history and in the examination findings.
Alhamdulillah, you guys are not just like GPs chasing money, you know.
Well, I hope so. Well, that's the ethos that I advocate. And I know it's whether you're in medicine, whether you're a specialist, whether you're a chiropractor, the patient always comes first. So we should always do what's in the interest of the patient, and you know, and alhamdulillah, Allah will grant us our rizq if we follow the right way.
Alhamdulillah, I'm very happy to hear that actually. Allah Ta'ala is the sole provider of rizq. Walqadri khayri wa shari min Allah Ta'ala. Good, bad, happy, sad is from Allah.
Most definitely. You know, we don't know why the patient came to us. Like you asked, you know, how does this patient come to you, whether he sees a board? And there are several patients that have been to so many doctors and so many people, and one day they were just coming to fill in fuel at my local area, and they saw my sign and they just walked in. And alhamdulillah, I'm not claiming to be any super specialist or anything of that sort, but I've been able to help a lot of these people, and you know, that's how they get to know. And I also know my limitations, where like you said, if I pick up a red flag, I refer the patient to a specialist like an orthopedic or a neurosurgeon. And in fact, just recently I've had a few of these cases that came to me. I'll give you one example. There was a patient that presented to
me. Please give me more than one.
There was a patient that presented to me, for example, with pain under the ribs on the right side. Yeah. And it was also in the back a little bit. And, you know, after taking, and he'd been to doctors that gave him anti-inflammatories. He went to the state hospital. They were just giving him painkillers and sent him home.
No investigations done.
Very little. And he came to me, and I just looked at his eyes, and you could see the yellowing in his eyes. And, you know, he had other features, that his history of alcohol and so forth. And, you know,
cirrhosis of the liver.
Yes, it could be that. And then
cancer of the liver.
I sent him for an X-ray, and turned out he had metastases. He had cast
already metastases.
Yes.
Where was the primary tumor?
On the liver.
On the liver.
Yes.
Itself.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a sad case. Another one I'll give you was a patient who came to me and had neck pain. And you know, if I didn't ask him about his cardiovascular history, it would have been almost mechanical type presentation. He just had some sore muscles, some restricted range of motion. But I asked him, and he mentioned something about shortness of breath, a little bit of chest pain that came and went. He took anti-inflammatories and the pain went away. But something told me to investigate this further, and we did an ECG, and we sent him for cardiac enzymes, and they were elevated. And the guy basically had myocardial, you know, ischemia, infarction.
Or perhaps he had angina.
Perhaps. Mm. But the thing is, you know what, we got to look out for these things. So that's why it's important that a proper history and examination is done. If a patient requires an X-ray, we ask for an X-ray. If they require a CT or MRI, we refer
for it. Tell me, look, in fact, I just had supper with my nephew.
Yes.
He's busy, they just finished writing the matric exams. And one of his things that I said, well, who told you? He says, no, he just wanted to do it. He just heard from somebody, he has become a chiropractor.
Oh, really?
So I asked him, I said, such a coincidence, because I'm going to be interviewing a chiropractor on radio today. Tell me what subject you should do in school. This is for students that might want to do this.
Okay, so
normally your students, you know, everyone wants to become a doctor. If everybody becomes doctors, who wear patients.
Whatever subjects that are required for medicine would be required the same thing, with emphasis on your languages and your mathematics, physical science, and if you do biology or whatever it's called now, I think it's called life science, that would be a priority. You know, if you don't do those subjects in school and you end up, you're gonna battle.
Back in university.
Yes. Yeah.
And tell me.
And I just want to add, places at varsity we know is at a premium. Mm. You know, so the students out there work as hard as possible, try and get the best symbol. You know, everyone wants a piece of the pie.
Tell me, where is it in South Africa?
There's two institutions in South Africa where it's offered. One is at Durban University of Technology, and the other one is at University of Johannesburg.
UJ?
UJ, yes.
Only two?
There's only two in the country.
So every year, how many qualify? I'm learning, actually.
Yeah.
Tell me, how many years does it take?
Well, the first, it's a master's program. So what happens is it's a 5-year coursework.
Not honors.
No, it's an exit level. Master's is the exit level. Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah.
So it's a professional master's. It's a 5-year combination of basic medical science plus clinical science, and then there are some chiropractic specific subjects like manipulation and so forth, and then you end up doing a dissertation, a research dissertation.
Phew.
Yes. So, you know, you and I know what it's like to do research, so although it's theoretically possible in 1 year, and there are people that have done it, it can go to 2 years sometimes. So if you add all of it, it's between 6 and 7 years to qualify. Yeah. And then, you know, you serve a period of internship or whatever.
Is it compulsory?
It's compulsory, right?
Service, like,
they do that. I'm not too sure. I've been out of it for a while, but I'm sure there is something that they have to do. And then thereafter, you have to apply for registration and practice number and all of these
and
things.
Is that all part of the HPCSA?
It's part of the Allied Health Professions Council, AHPCSA, which is gazetted, which is recognized.
Part of the SPCSA, obviously.
No, it's a separate council. It's a separate council.
Honestly, something new.
But there are.
I always thought that allied professional professions all fall under the HPCSA.
Well, I think there are some discussions that are happening about trying to bring everything under one umbrella body. Yes, it makes sense for that to happen. For me, healthcare is healthcare. You know, there shouldn't be these labels and stuff like that. So, but, you know, the powers that be are working on it.
Tell me, like, things like what is commonly called slip disc, you know.
Yes.
Disc prolapse.
Yeah. You know,
you deal with that.
You and I know that, you know, from the anatomy of the disc, it doesn't slip. Right? So basically
it's
what
happens... It's a jelly-like substance.
It's a tough fibrous layer, and then you have inside it is the gel-like substance, which we call the nucleus. And so what happens is, when it starts to flatten or lose water, it starts to bulge.
Yeah.
Right? So the gel-like layer can track through the cracks and actually bulge.
And the bulging will cause pressure on the nerves.
If it causes pressure on the nerves, and very importantly, if it causes pressure on the spinal cord, which is much more serious, then... You obviously have to do what's called decompression and stuff like that with that.
You're not scared to manipulate that kind of...
No, when there's cord compression signs, then they have to be referred.
If there's no cord compression, then we'll say peripheral nerves or...
You see, the manipulation deals with the facet joints.
And like your root nerves.
Yeah, I know. You're talking about radiculopathy.
The word is radiculopathy.
The nerve roots that come off the spine. Generally, if they are hardcore neurological signs, by that I mean if there's weakness of the legs.
Like you get a full
atrophy, exactly. Then in that instance, they go straight to the neurosurgeon from my office. They don't even get touched, right? Because we have to worry about decompressing the nerve. If it's left pressed on it, it can cause irreversible damage. So those are the things we stay away from.
Well, you've done an LLM now, so we've got to be careful.
You know what it's like, you know. So we have to be careful. So that's essentially what we do. So it's mainly facetal, pain from facet, muscular ligament, that kind of thing that we sort of treat.
You know, welcome, we should say welcome to Brother Suhail Vahid. Also, when I said Vahid, look at your face, you see, you got two Vahids here in one studio.
You know, he walked in so quietly. He moved furniture, he sat and nobody...
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
He's a lawyer. He's a lawyer by profession, but he doesn't know that both of us, we've just finished our LLM.
Alhamdulillah. Good to be here. Good to have you, Dr. Sheikh and Vahid.
Jazakallah.
Good to be here, brother only.
You see, you're supposed to be monitoring the questions.
I'm actually in the process of doing that. I think there is a question that's come through. Okay, so it says, Assalamu alaikum.
Look, what do you do? We'll take the questions. Otherwise, if you want, we can just...
No, please feel free.
Because after the break, I've got to go on to your speciality topic, TV or the spine or TV in
that's
general.
That's not a problem. You can go to that. You can carry on. It's whatever the viewers want, it's fine.
Certainly. Okay, so Assalamu alaikum, Doctors Vahid and Sheikh. I have had a prolonged...
Walaikum salam.
I've had a prolonged history of tension headaches. For the past 6 months or so, I've had pain of the muscles from the shoulders up to the head every morning. And recently, I was involved in a motor vehicle collision. Subsequent to that, I had visited a general practitioner who had given me anti-inflammatory, and ever since then, nothing has changed. Please advise.
Okay. This is a very common scenario, and I presume brother or the listener who's undergoing this.
It could be a sister too.
Yeah. But, you know, we talk about tension type headache, and, you know, it's a very common diagnosis out there. But there's another type of headache that most people are not aware of. It's called cervicogenic.
And the cervical spine.
Yes, and that headache has its origin in the muscles of the spine. And so with the history of trauma that the listener has presented, it can result in what we call micro and sometimes even macro damage to the ligaments and muscles. Often when muscles are whiplashed, you get tears in the muscles and there's bleeding inside there, which causes fibrosis, shortening of the muscles. It results in scar tissue of the muscles. So when a person moves their neck, it becomes limited. And as a result of that, you get referred pain from the neck to the head. And it's often misdiagnosed as tension type. Tension type normally happens when someone is under stress. And I'm not saying that the listener is not under stress. It could coexist. And the other thing that happens when...
I would say that we can appoint Dr. Juliacek.
Most definitely.
And another thing that could possibly cause this is an alteration in the normal cervical curvature. So that what we doctors normally call a loss of lordosis, which is our curves, our necks are not absolutely straight. They have a slight curve. So that can
kyphosis
also...
Kyphosis or kyphoscoliosis.
It's called a lordosis.
No, I'm talking about...
In the thoracic spine, in
the
mid-back.
Yeah, thoracic spine, yes. You know, your chest is ugly, or you're born like that, or is always...
Not necessarily you're born like that. You can develop it. For example, if there's a compression fracture, it results in poor posture. Poor posture is the most common one.
I'm very sorry. If I heard the question correctly, the listener spoke about headaches before the accident.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, for the period of about 6 months,
right,
and pain of the muscles from the shoulders up to the head every morning.
Right, so that is a clue that, you know what, it might be cervicogenic related. Tension type headache is often a tight band around the head. Yes.
Complete head.
Yes, it feels as if there's a vice around it. That's
the frontal temporal.
Yeah, exactly. And it's often another thing I would advise his brother to do is actually get his blood pressure checked. Blood pressure and his glucose levels, hypoglycemia, hypertension can cause headaches. Hypoglycemia as well, and tension and high blood pressure can cause neck pain and headaches as well. And it often goes misdiagnosed. Another common thing that people, you know, sometimes overlook is eyesight. Your eyesight, whether you're short-sighted or far-sighted. And if they don't get it checked out, that causes eye strain and can cause a headache and also pain in the shoulder area as well. So I hope that response helps
the business. Perfect. Jazakallah khair for that. Just some closing, some final advice to that listener. Perhaps we could give out Dr. Sheikh's contact details. Is that fine, Dr. Vaid?
Yeah, well, let the listener call in to our studios and we'll give it.
Certainly, inshallah. Okay, jazakallah
khair. Let's go for break now. It's time for break. And inshallah, we've got to pay our rental. And after the break, inshallah, we'll take more questions or we'll continue with TB of the spine. Inshallah.
Shukran.
You're listening to a Marcus Sahaba online radio podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Medical File. Alhamdulillah. I have next to me and in front of me Doctors Sheikh, and who's a chiropractor who actually has completed his LLM. And we have Dr. He's in the process of completing his LLM.
No, he's finished it. Basically, he's got thesis to submit like myself.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. And we have our Dr. Vaid, Dr. Yusuf Abdul Qadir Vaid, our resident specialist in theatre. The topic of discussion today is TB spine. It's a very specific topic to...
Let's call it generalized TB, and then from there we can get our Dr. Sheikh to take it onto the spine and what have you.
Yeah, so for all the listeners out there, just a quick one for those that didn't get the WhatsApp line. It's +2784-786-3132. +2784-786-3132. Over to you, Dr. Zvaid and Sheikh.
Jazakumullah khair and welcome back to the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Dr. Sheikh, I should say, not Sheikh.
Well, that's a correct Arabic pronunciation, Sheikh, you know, but, Sheikh is fine. It's quite an infamous surname, actually.
Just before the break, we're just having general discussion on what chiropractors do and how patients came to you. And very, very interesting for me. I'm learning every day as well.
No, alhamdulillah. You know, it's like I said, there's
Although we advertise the subject as TV spine, I think we should just generally talk about TV, especially now with our HIV pandemic.
Yes. Incidentally, it's TB that actually gave chiropractic initially a bad name. I'll tell you how. TB of the spine, the most common presentation is back pain.
Severe back pain, right.
So what people would do in the 1700s and before that would go to what we'd call a bone setter. Or someone would just manipulate or click things in place and that sort of stuff. And unfortunately, what happened was TB of the spine became quite rife at that time. So, manipulation is contraindicated in any...
TB, because, look, obviously the whole structure is...
Exactly. Damaged. The whole thing will crumble and, the person can end up with serious consequences. And unfortunately, it was done by untrained people. At one time, surgeons were actually barbers. Or barbers called themselves surgeons. And at that time, people who practiced...
I know my circumcision was done by a barber.
No, you didn't have to tell us.
I heard my late mom and dad telling me after I became a doctor and I was horrified.
Well, you should be, but...
You see, look at the body and, you'll be laughing, but that is the truth.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but, well, that's a nice bit of information that Dr. Vyan has just shared. I don't know what the listeners make of
that. On a lighter note, put it that
but,
way.
Yeah, no, one time barbers were called, they used to practice surgery. So unfortunately, people used to, with no training, used to practice these kind of things. And eventually the medical profession started to say, these guys are bad news, stay away from them. And unfortunately that rubbed off onto chiropractic a little bit. But it's come a long way since those bad days. And now, the training is essentially medical training with a lot of, emphasis on...
Before you go along, did you lecture at medical school as well?
Yes, I did. The Department of Human Anatomy. I did clinical anatomy with the medical students as well as the nursing students. Mm-hmm. That was quite a nice experience, Yeah, so that essentially was the link, and then what happened is then chiropractic became a profession on its own, and it's very much, a hands-on kind of profession. So with respect to TB, we all know, not many people will know that TB wasn't always called TB or tuberculosis. It was at one time called consumption. If you read the old literature, it was called death by consumption, which basically meant you wasted away. And that's what happens with terminal TB. So, you literally waste.
Look, as you say, I'm so happy to be presenting the show. And I must remind you, it's fee sabilillah. Don't ask me for money after the
program. Absolutely not. This is in the service of, in the
mankind.
Name of God, in the service of mankind.
I'm joking, but I know. I emphasize.
Believe me, I know you by now. So, I know. And also the evidence for TB.
Consumption, I never knew
yes,
that.
Yes, it was. And, when they opened some of these pharaoh's bodies 3,000 years later when they found them, they found evidence of TB, in their lungs, in their tissue.
And they survived. The buck survived.
Well, they could still see the bacteria.
The pathology.
Yeah, the pathology and stuff. So TB is not a new disease. It's been a very long disease. And, at one time they used to send people up into the mountains for fresh air, which was a good thing because, to try and get them. Then they started until the bacterium was actually isolated by Robert Koch. And then they found that the causative organism for this. And people think there's just one type of TB out there, but there's so many different strains of TB. There's drug-susceptible TB, which is basically TB that responds to medication and gets better. Then more dangerously is the drug-resistant TB, which is a big problem in South Africa, and it's becoming in certain parts of the world.
I don't know if you're aware of the Tugela Ferry.
Yes, my work on that was a lot. And, I did my work on TB in children, in pediatric, and I focused on Mlazi down here in Durban South. And what I found was there were children with XDR TB.
XDR-TB,
yeah. And there were households with XDR-TB, which we know is a public health disaster. Yes. And, you know, the question was, where are these children getting TB from? Because it's not easy.
Yeah, in Amlazi, look, I can understand the Together Ferry, because it's a whole isolated area, in the Bundus, so to say.
But here, what we found, I found certain genetic strains of TB that were found in children that were kilometers apart. They never ever came in contact with each other.
But the strain was the same.
The strain was the same. So we have to ask ourselves, how is this being spread in the community? Perhaps, maybe they were sat in a taxi.
That's right. Droplet, common droplet.
We all know it's spread by droplet. It's highly unlikely they might have, it's possible, they might have drank milk straight from an infected cow, you know. And
but
then
that generally shouldn't.
You'll get abdominal TB with that, right? And then in very rare instances, you can maybe, you know, get through from the mother through the umbilical vein to the baby. Or the baby, as you know, takes in some of the infected amniotic fluid. But that's not the common thing. So the most common way TB is transmitted is in a closed environment with droplet infection. In other words, if you cough, if I have TB, you have TB and you cough, and I walk into the room and it's quite a closed space, there's a good chance I will inhale some of the droplets.
But then again, it also depends on your
immune status.
Yeah.
Correct. And so,
if you have an ordinary flu, your immune system is going to go down.
Exactly. So, you know, you could be on, people would be on, for example, corticosteroid medication. Mm-hmm. That brings your immune system. If you are diabetic, you can depress your immune
definitely,
system.
Definitely, alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Common things occur commonly.
Exactly.
Diabetes, flu.
You know, kidney disease, renal failure,
right.
All of those things will cause.
Chemotherapy.
Exactly. Organ transplants. Anyone who's been a recipient, you know, you become immunosuppressed.
Mm.
But we all, first thing we think about when immunosuppression is HIV.
Yeah, well, that came, look, in my time when I was extremely...
That's when the epidemic started to get attention.
No, at that time it was like something...
Yes.
Look, I remember when I was doing ophthalmology, I was a resident of ophthalmology, and I presented a paper on the possibility of isolating the HIV virus in tears. It was like a big thing,
yes. Yeah.
Today it's like, hey, boss, be careful, you know.
Yeah. And it's amazing that this virus, which doesn't have a brain, doesn't have anything except, you know, some proteins and some genetic material, is
and
somehow able to...
It replicates like
exactly. It destroys the very cell that keeps us alive, one of them, the T cells, you know, which is vital for our immunity. But it's able to somehow work out you're trying to kill it. So it mutates.
That's right.
You know, without even thinking about it. And it does it. And then that's what confounds.
Qudrat of Allah.
Exactly. So it keeps the scientists busy. It keeps them guessing that this minute, you know, you can't even see this thing without your specialized electron microscopy. That this thing is able to fight off the most advanced science there is out there. And so, you know, that's the thing, you know, one of the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, there is a cure for every illness except death and old age, you know. So I'm sure, you know, as the years come, there will be eventually a cure for HIV, but that doesn't mean we practice habits that are dangerous and, you know, that are...
Well, just talking about, I heard the other day from, I don't know whether it's a mufti or from some ulama, but it says that min al khufi wal ju'i wa naqsi min al amwal. Allah Ta'ala says when fornication, adultery, fornication, adultery become rife in a community, Allah Ta'ala will test us with such diseases that we've never heard of. Look, before we heard of TB, people were put in it was called a sanatorium.
Yeah, exactly. They isolated, forgot about them.
Dump them till they
exactly,
die.
Exactly, that's it.
Then TB became to such a point that you could just treat it like any other illness, like a cough and
exactly.
Like a flu.
Yeah.
Now it's taking a reverse turn after...
Now the rise of resistant TB is coming through. And, you know, there are a few causes of resistant tumor.
And you see, You get a resistant, the XDR, no.
MDR and XDR.
Yeah.
Yes.
The MDR is your multi-drug resistant. XDR is now the worst type.
Yes, it's the worst type out there. And there's
extreme,
also...
Extreme, they call it extreme drug.
There's another XDR, which is beyond anything that we even know about. So, you know, the thing with that is that one of the problems is you can get resistant TB two ways. One, you actually develop resistance because you didn't complete your treatment.
That's true.
Right. So what happens is TB medication is not something you take for 1 week. We all know that. You take it for months, at least 6 to 9 months sometimes.
The ordinary
right?
TB is, you know, like without any complication, without any
yes.
other, 6 months minimum.
Minimum, exactly. And the thing is, after basically a 6 to 8 weeks, the patient starts feeling better.
And it stops.
And then what happens is, they think they are cured, they throw the medication, they don't go to the clinic, whatever the case may be, and then they start developing symptoms that come back. And this time they come back with a vengeance. So they actually develop what we call resistant TB. The other one is acquired, the other one is where you actually get it from someone. So someone with resistant TB coughed in a room and you actually end up getting that system. So if your immune system was depressed, you can get the condition. And it's an ingenious mechanism that our body develops. It's called what you and I would call granuloma formation. It's basically the body's, it's a cell response that happens that tries and walls this infection in the lung to prevent it from actually going out.
Spreading around.
Yes.
Does it get cavitation?
So what happens is it deprives the bacteria of oxygen, and so the tissue inside it starts to necrose or dies, and it walls off that.
Yeah, and it left you.
Yes. And that stage, if your immune system is relatively strong, you won't develop symptoms, and that's called latent TB.
Now it will remain there
yes.
until you go.
So what happens is your
system for some
exactly
reason.
Your body mounts an immune response which can be picked up on a blood test, right? But you don't have symptoms of TB.
Mm.
And there's a group of scientists out there who actually believe most of us actually have TB because it's so easily transmittable.
Yeah, because every day
we come in contact, riding
the bus or whatever.
Exactly, you know, and we come home and we may have even developed a little bit of coughing and those kind of things and don't think about it. And if our immune system is weak, that whole mechanism of walling the infection collapses, and then you get what's called active TB, where you get the symptoms that are, so, you know, the fever, the chest pain, the coughing of blood, losing of weight, night sweats, sometimes glands around the neck, you know, that develop. So those are the things that we look out for, and that's called active TB. You know, we've seen it. So it's quite a horrible condition to get.
But what about the spine, the bone?
Right. So now the spine is in intimate contact with relatively, or it's very close to the lungs. So you can often have direct transmission from the lung to the spine itself. And what happens is it starts to attack the bone in the spine itself. And then, again, the analogy I'm trying to bring is as if someone is trying to climb a ladder. The ladder is your spine. So the infection can either go up the spine or down the spine. And then it weakens, it destroys the blood flow to the spine, and as a result, the disc collapses, the vertebrae collapses, and you get this horrible deformity called, in technical terms, they call it a gibbous, which basically means your spine fractures and starts to angulate. And it's a really horrible, and the main danger with that is cord compression. And so you end up, you can become paralyzed.
Yeah, I saw quite a few in Velcom.
Yes.
Especially among the
miners. Yes. You know, they basically work
and
in
paralysis is very,
very, very common. And, you know, we know that there's a very critical time limit to decompress the cord. Otherwise, you end up
with paralyzed for life.
And if you are HIV already positive or you have some kind of immunocompromised situation, then it's even worse. Yes.
And are there bones of the body, since you're a bone doctor?
Well, Here's another one for...
Mark.
No.
I'm trying to bring some laughter into this studio.
And you know what?
Studio.
If people could only see me, you know, it's... But, you know, there's a perception that TB is only a disease of the lungs. It's not.
No, I've seen the worst part of it.
The worst case of TB you can possibly get is TB meningitis. It has a high fatality rate.
Very high.
Very high, and it's a horrible condition.
Especially in kids.
Especially in kids. I've seen so many, you know, and you see them helpless, and they're basically gone. And then there's not many people know. There's TB of the genitals.
Oh,
right? Yes, TB of the abdomen. And there's also TB of the skin.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not very common. So TB is a multi-organ, multi-system
and
disorder.
And different kind of TB.
Exactly.
Or even, you know, the names, but yeah. we'll get our doctor back, you know, I forgot this week is called antibiotic week.
Okay.
Yeah, well, antibiotics is the main stay of treatment. It's the main way. But, you know,
The willy-nilly use of antibiotics.
Oh, yes. You know,
Causing resistance.
You know, often doctors prescribe it for viral conditions or non-bacterial conditions.
I don't
conditions.
Know if you know of Dr. Peer.
Dr. A.K. Peer.
Hmm. He's the microbiologist for Lancet.
Okay, all right.
We had him here on our show. We have to bring him back.
Well,
I hope he's listening to us.
Now. I'm sure he'll supplement a lot of what inshallah, we said, you know, inshallah.
We won't talk about, you see, that's about general antibiotics.
Yes.
I just happened to read it in the newspaper or watched it on one
but
of the
But it
news.
Applies to most conditions. Even pneumonia, like TB pneumonia is a big cause, you know, of fatality as well. Mm. You know,
but TB meningitis, remember the meninges is covering the brain.
It's a horrible condition to get. It's one
if
of the worst.
If it's not treated quick, you're in trouble.
And even if you somehow recover, the complications associated with it are quite nasty.
Horrible. Allah knows best.
Yes. So, and another thing is, you know, the importance of contacts. One of the warning signs that someone might
you
have
see,
something
what
serious.
With us, we normally just say. We are racialistic. Let's not say we feel we won't get it. Put it that way.
Well, everyone feels like you know it belongs to some community,
race. Yeah.
Some race, or some malnourished community out there. But I've seen CEOs have TB. You know, I've seen doctors get TB. I've seen lawyers get TB. Anyone can get TB. And we should remove ourselves from that stigma.
That's right. The workers coming to
yeah, you know what? Treat everyone the same. It's really unfortunate. But the truth is, TB is a condition of overcrowded, unsanitary condition. It is. It that's the truth. It spread more much easier that way. You know, so it's important that it's diagnosed properly. And unfortunately, there's one of the gold standard for diagnosing TB is a culture. And unfortunately,
it's about 6 weeks.
It's a very long time to get it.
The new test.
The gene expert test is a PCR based test, and it's what it does. It gives you a result within 2 hours. There is one in Amlazi where I work.
Yeah, they put it in all the clinics.
Yes, it's the thing is it's not you know it picks up resistant as well as MDR TB, but not XDR. So,
but this is picture.
Yes, and you know, I'll give you my first experience with the gene expert. I went and stood there to see how this thing actually worked, and it was quite fascinating. They had these little cartridges and
look,
they put samples.
Look, I haven't seen it, but I promoted it, but I haven't seen it.
It's actually a wonderful advancement in the field of TB diagnostics. But it can process the one I saw in Prince Mishiani Hospital was about 400 samples an hour. It can actually process. Just imagine.
Is it on sputum or blood?
Sputum. So they put this and with some special reagents and so forth, it goes into a little cartridge, it's loaded into the machine. And, you know, I stood there and you get a printout on the screen, mm-hmm. or you can print it out. And in the 15 minutes that I stood and watched the screen, there were 12 cases that were positive.
In 15
minutes.
Allahu Akbar.
Right.
Allah
so,
save us.
And that's only in the Durban South region.
One hospital.
Yes, and you know, the catchment areas that feed into that as well. So,
extrapolate that for an hour.
You know, let's not even, you know, it's
48 in an hour.
Well, it tells you how problematic.
My math is okay, so don't laugh.
Well, at least, you know, you lost your hair, but, you know, at least something works. But, I know.
48 in an hour. You know,
well, roughly, call it 50 plus minutes. Minus, you know, there may be some slow periods, but, you know, in the time that I stood there, that was what I saw. And, you know, every week I would go and get my results of all the kids. And unfortunately, unfortunately, a lot of kids were in there as well. You know, children were quite young. The youngest patient I had was this guy, this poor boy was just born a few days old. And, you know,
with TB.
And he got it from his parents. And unfortunately, both his parents didn't survive as well. Yeah, you know, it was quite a sad thing. I remember having this little sample that I was doing my test, the plasma serum sample. And then I looked at the bottle in which it was stored, and this child's name was on it. So this child basically made a sacrifice so that we could benefit from the, you know, the progress that's being made in TB. And, you know, so, you know, it was quite a sad occasion. You know, unfortunately, there's lots of
the. Look, I can listen to you through the whole night, you know, and very, very sad. Could you, look, I'll end up with one of, I just got a news the other day that one of my patients had inherited him when he was 3 years old with TB and full-blown HIV, pneumonia and the works.
Shame.
He just died 2 weeks ago.
Really, really sad.
At the age of 18 or 20.
I had a young girl who was diagnosed with TB.
I used to call him my Kosi. You know Kosi in Johnson?
Yes, in Johnson, yes.
So I used to call him Kosi Johnson. That's my Kosi Johnson.
This poor girl had TB. Unfortunately, she used to go to the clinic. This is how bad it is. She was 10 years old and she had to go to the clinic herself to get it. And so she would go, she'd collect this medication, you know, she'd get a parcel of medication. And what she would do, she would come home and throw the medication under her bed and tell her grandmother that she was taking it.
Love.
And she died.
10 years old.
She died, you know, and grandmother was cleaning her room and found this thing under her bed. So, you know, may Allah save us all from
these
conditions.
As I say, you know, time is against us. We have to round up and close up before Monday gets wild and say he wants overtime and he wants to fly with the SAA workers. Anyway, Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullahu khair. The hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Man lam yashkuri nas, lam yashkurillah. That if you cannot be grateful to mankind, you cannot be grateful to Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, "La in shakartum la azidannakum." The more grateful you are, the more thankful you are, the more Allah will increase us. In the light of the above, like you say, Dr. Junaid Sheikh Sahib, Damul Barakatu, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, words cannot express my gratitude. Remember, people don't know the sacrifice you have made to come here. You've come all the way from Verulam.
It's my pleasure.
And you come from an area where the lights are troubling. I'm serious, there's no lights. They didn't have electricity for all day.
With all that,
you've come here, you've sacrificed just to share your knowledge with us. Alhamdulillah. May Allah Ta'ala increase your knowledge.
Amen.
May Allah Ta'ala keep you healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Amen.
And main thing of all, brother, use you for his deen, inshallah.
Amen. Inshallah. And Jazakallah, I really appreciate Dr. Yusuf and, you know, for inviting me and to Markaz Sahaba for this wonderful work that you do.
No, at least I know that what chiropractic is all about. It's not just bones.
Well, my contact details are on the internet and, you know, on this.
No, we'll use anybody.
If anyone wants, they can get it from your studios.
Yes.
And I'll be happy to assist wherever I can.
Write it down, Suhail, please, his number down, because I have his number on my phone, and midnight, I don't want you to phone me midnight and ask for Dr. Sheikh's number.
Yeah. brothers and sisters out there, please don't send any messages to Brother Yusuf at midnight.
inshallah, know. Look, backache is a common cause.
Yes.
Especially, it's
one of the most common causes for why people go to doctors.
That's right.
And also taking time off work, and it decreases your productivity, decreases your leisure. Mm.
Look, I was reading an article in one of the journals saying in the UK, one of the most common reasons with book patients is mechanical backache. Okay, we have to back up dua. Hazrat just walked into our students, please dua. Now finish making the earlier dua, you make the later dua, you're half a sabbin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqin, was salatu was salamu ala ashrafil mursalin.
Amin.
Sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafiina wa habibina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridhaka wal jannah wa na'udhu bika min sakhatika wan nar. Allahumma kfina bi halalika an haramika wa aghnina bi fadlika amman siwa. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
جزاكم الله خير to the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the listener of Jama. Inshallah, next week we'll have a very, very dynamic topic with a dynamic speaker as well. Alhamdulillah, these are all my classmates from the LLM. Dr. Samir Nadvi, also LLM. But a very, very important and very, very urgently important, I should say, talking about brain death and organ transplants. So inshallah, we look forward to that for next week.
So hopefully in the near future, we could get Dr. Sheikh to come back for a follow-up program.
We must have him. Obviously, his thesis will be finished just now.
Inshallah, by then. Jazakallah khair, Dr. Sheikh and Dr. Vaid.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.